Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've been talking about Jesus Christ is alive. You know, 2013, we had the privilege of going over to China and visiting our son, and we got to walk out to where Mao's graveside is, and every day, thousands upon thousands of people, as they raise him up out of that refrigerated unit and his body's laying there, people will pass by because they worship him. He's their God. But you know, I can't help but think as they go around there, all their hope is gone. He's still dead. There he is. But man, we have a Savior that is alive today. If you go to his tomb, and I had the privilege of going to his tomb, or what they say is his tomb in Jerusalem a few years back, it's empty. There's a sign above the grave. He's not here. He is risen from the dead. Now that's the good news of the gospel this morning. Let us read this passage of scripture, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, or the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. Do we stand today in the gospel? If you are saved, Christ is in you, you ought to stand upon the word of the gospel here, by which also you're saved. The only way to be saved is to trust God and stand upon his word. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we read your word, Lord, I thank you that through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is here today, Lord, we ask that you convict our hearts today. If there's someone here that has never trusted you as Lord and Savior, if they died at this moment, they would spend an eternity in a place called hell because they're lost without you. Lord, that they might give their life, put their faith in you, trust you, like Brother Bill said, as a little child, that they might have eternal life. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We have a living Savior. That is the good news of the gospel. We have a Savior, the Bible says here, who died for our sins. Now that's important for me, and it ought to be important to you. Christ died for my sins. He paid the price for our sins. That's good news, because without him paying the price for our sins, we couldn't have everlasting life. You see, I'm not good enough to get myself into heaven. Christ died. The perfect Lamb of God died for our sins. Not only that, the Bible says also that he was buried. Now, folks, that's good news. We don't think about funerals as good news, but that's good news that Christ died and he was buried, and for 3 days and nights, Christ was in that tomb because he paid the price, the Bible says, for our sins and was buried. And just as Christ was buried for our sins this morning, our sins have been put away. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. They've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. We sing that old song, "My sins are gone. I've been set free." Folks, that's the good news of the gospel this morning. Our sins have been paid for by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A price that I could not pay, he paid. Then we have those three words, he was buried. Now, look in your Bible, if you've got your Bible, and I hope you have your Bible. And what do they have after he was buried? Is it a period or is it a comma? Well, you know, if it's a period, that wouldn't be any good news, would it? It was Jesus Christ came, he died, and was buried. That's the end of the story. That's no good news. But the Bible doesn't stop there. Instead of a period, he has a comma there. You know, now the tragedy of our world today is they put a period after he died and was buried. Now, I want to be honest with you. That's sad. My Bible says he was buried, and then that's not the end of the story. Like old Brother Paul Harvey used to say, let me tell you the rest of the story. You know, I don't like to go to movies. We're going to show a picture here today, tonight, about War Room. It's a story about a family and prayer, how it saved their lives and marriage. But let me tell you something. I don't like these Hollywood-produced movies about Jesus that come out of Hollywood. They, you know, Hollywood portraying a picture about Jesus Christ is about like reading a book of honesty putting out by the mafia. It just don't happen that way. They do not have Jesus Christ, or they put a period after Christ. He died. Somebody said, you don't have to stick your nose in a place that a dumpster that to know that it smells. It just smells, folks. And there's something rotten about saying that Christ died and he didn't rise again. The hope of the good news is that he was buried, and those three words, he rose again. Now, folks, that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 14, it says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. And if Christ be not risen, then your faith is in vain. If Christ is dead, you know what? I'm just wasting my time. If Christ is dead, I'd just soon be out. I'd rather be out there hunting or fishing or playing golf or doing something. If Christ is dead, you're wasting your time by coming this morning. You see, our faith is in vain. That's what the Bible says, singing all these beautiful songs. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. If Christ is dead, then we might not as well sing those songs, because if Christ be dead, we have no hope whatsoever. When you die, then you die. Now, the world thinks that. You just die and you die and everything's all right, everything's... Or they say this, well, you know, if everybody dies, everybody's going to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. It says that Christ, he rose again. And Jesus says he was going to come back. You see, Christ died, was buried, and rose again. That is very personal to Jesus Christ. That is the good news of the gospel, that he rose again. Now, how personal it is to Jesus Christ? Well, it's a very personal gospel because it was Christ who was born of a virgin. It was Christ who came and lived a sinless life. It was Christ who was nailed to a cross and died upon that cross. It was Christ who was buried in the tomb. It was Christ who rose again. It's a very personal gospel about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that came and died and was buried for our sins, your sins and my sins. He said he was going to take, Bill said it a while ago, he said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will build it back again. Now, they thought he was talking about the big temple. But he wasn't talking about that temple. He was talking about his life. I shall be buried, and on the third day I will rise again. He was talking about the resurrection. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so shall I be in the earth, but I will come back again. And let me tell you something, folks. I don't know about you, but that is what I believe. That is where I put my hope. That is where I put my faith. And it's not a hope so like we use today. My hope is built on Jesus Christ. Nothing less. It's a solid foundation for life. Let me tell you something. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to put my faith in Him. I'm going to walk with Christ on a daily basis because I believe the Word of God. And the Word of God says, if we do not have Christ, if we do not live for Christ, then we have no hope of eternal life in heaven. But we have just an eternal destruction away from God. He said He would. And you and I are here today. You're here today, Easter Sunday, as a testimony to the fact that we believe that Jesus will do what He says He'll do. He will keep His word. Now, what does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ will one day rise from the dead. It means that one day He has forgiven our sins. It means that He has removed our shame and our guilt. And one day He will come back, just like He said He would. He said to His disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms or mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again. Let me tell you something. He vindicated His word right there. I will come again. Jesus Christ was buried for our sins. He rose again. And He says, whosoever believeth in Me shall have everlasting life. Now we believe because what? He has risen. His tomb is empty. That's the good news of the gospel. Muhammad died. He's still dead. Buddha died, and he's still dead. Let me tell you, when I was in Thailand, they have a Buddha sitting on a mountain, marble. It's bigger than probably anything you'll ever see. It's just a huge, big old, people walk up to that big old marble statue of Buddha. It's bigger than this whole building. It's just a monstrosity of a thing. You can see it from miles away. And I feel so sad that people are coming up there and kneeling to that big piece of granite and praying. And I was watching a young man do that out in front of his store. He was lighting candles and all of this, and he was kneeling down and he was praying. And when he got up, I said, young man, let me ask you something. What are you doing? He said, I'm lighting candles to Buddha. I said, has he ever done anything for you? He said, well, not really. I said, you know what? I serve a risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and He has done something for me. He gave me eternal life. And when I talked to him about Jesus Christ there as he was listening, and he said, you know what? It must be real because I've heard that before. And I said, you can have Jesus Christ in your life if you'll quit worshiping that piece of marble and start worshiping a true and living God. Jesus said, I will come again, and whosoever believeth in Me shall have everlasting life. He said, simply come unto Me, and I will give you rest. Why do I believe that? Because of the three words, He rose again. Those three little words make all the difference in the world. In this world, we have temptations, don't we? In this world, we have troubles and trials. In this world, we have sicknesses. We have deaths. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Folks, that brings glory to my heart. That brings light and life to the Word of God. Maybe this morning you're here and you're battling a disease in your life. And the doctor has told you, you know, we've got to do chemo, we've got to do radiation. But you know what? It always ends up bad, doesn't it? For the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And every one of us will have that problem of death. But in Christ, we don't have to fear death because he said, I have overcome the world. Now, in this life, we're not only going to have diseases, we're going to have temptations. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And we can believe because of those three words, he rose again. That is the promise of God. That's what his word says. And the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, because that tomb is empty, vindicates the words of Jesus Christ. Not only that, it vindicates the work of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, God made him, Jesus. That's the him. Who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, let me ask you again, are you in Christ Jesus? Is he in you? This morning, if Christ is not in you, you have no hope. If you're not saved, you have no hope. Romans 5:8 says, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. You see, we're sinners. And Christ so loved us that he died for us while we were yet sinners. You know, I don't want to die for somebody bad, but Christ loved you so much, he died for you when you was a sinner. When you were at odds with him or enemies with him, he loved you so much that he gave his son to die for you. Christ died for the sins of the world. Is the price of Jesus Christ sufficient? Well, did it do the job? The Bible says he was buried, and 3 days later the resurrection came. It's something very personal to Jesus Christ. He rose again. Very personal. But you know, that doesn't stop the gospel. Or it doesn't stop right there. Not only is the gospel very personal gospel, he died. The Bible says it's a very powerful gospel that Jesus rose. In Revelation 1:18, it's a very interesting story. He says, I am the resurrection and life. Let me just read 1:18. It says this. What if I can find it? Where's Revelation found, Brother Bill? 1:18. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Now, that is very powerful. Jesus says, I am he that lived, I am he that has died, and I am he that is living again. And now, he says, I have the keys of hell and death. Listen to me. There's something very, very powerful about the keeper of the keys. Now, if you recall the Bible, the devil was on earth when Jesus Christ came. You know, God cast him out from heaven because he rebelled, and he cast him down to earth, and the Bible says the devil is the prince and the power of the earth, of the air. He's in charge. He had the keys. He had the power to demand the death of every sinner. In Romans 6:23, what does it say? The wages, that's what you earn if you die, of sin is death. Death is eternal separation from God. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God. Now, on the basis of what God's word says, the devil could come demand our death. So, when Jesus Christ came as a little boy, a baby, born in a manger on earth, there was a gigantic struggle. Good and evil. The devil and Jesus. And you know what? Jesus Christ invaded the devil's turf. This whole world. You see, he was the God of this world. So Jesus Christ came and took on the devil right in his own battleground. And Jesus Christ, if you read the Bible, it says he healed the sick and he made the dead to rise, and he cast out the demons in Jesus' name. You know, what Jesus Christ did was come down to earth, and he broke the grip of the devil upon people's lives. Now, let me tell you something. The devil is not here to annoy you. He is here to destroy you. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy everything there is about you. If you don't believe it, you just start living for him a little bit and you'll find yourself in predicaments that you never thought was so. He wants to destroy your life. Let me tell you, if you do not ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, one day when you die, you will be cast into a lake of fire in a place called hell and forever be there in that burning place of agony. The devil wants to destroy your life. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, if you're saved, he cannot destroy your life because you belong to God. But let me tell you something. He can ruin your testimony as a Christian, and he can take away the joy of your, the abundant joy of your Christian life. He wants to destroy your testimony. Jesus came to earth, and that in that mighty conflict, the Bible says, Jesus conquered the devil on every hand. And then the day came, right outside of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ was taken out there and crucified on the cross. The devil struck a death blow to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he died. They took the body down. They put him in a tomb. And the old devil was smiling all the way. I have won the victory. I have killed God's son. They roll a stone over that tomb. They sealed it with the Roman seal. The whole weight of the Roman Empire was up on that seal, and then the devil's guards was put there to guard that tomb. They wasn't going to let anybody steal his body for nothing because it meant they would be executed if they lost his body. So they were on guard. But let me tell you, the Bible says on the third day there was an earthquake and the power of God struck those men down, rolled a stone away. Jesus Christ reached out to the devil and said, "Give me the keys." Man, he's got the power in his hands now. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:26, I done lost my place there. I don't know how I got back to, I did too. I've been turning pages up here. 15:26, it says this: the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Now, folks, there's nothing pleasant about death. There's nothing pleasant about it. We do everything we can to make it look good. We buy flowers. We do all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. Death still comes, doesn't it? It reaches out to every home. It reaches out and snatches away our loved ones. Death walks up and down the hospital corridors and leaves his calling mark upon every family, every mother, every child, every husband, every boy. Death comes to us all. We all have to face that. But it is appointed to die unto man. And when Jesus Christ died, guess what he did? The Bible says he tasted death for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And he was not dying for himself. He died for you and I. He had done nothing wrong. And yet he died for us. We sing that song, "Oh, Victory in Jesus." And we can sing that song because of those three words: he has risen. Something very personal about that. Something very powerful about that. And then there's something very practical about the good news. Let me go back and just say, some of you are here this morning and you've been in church all your life. You've come every Easter. You've come every Sunday morning. You've come every month. You've come to church so faithful, year after year, time after time, week after week. But let me tell you something. Some of you have never, never, never received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Isn't that something? That you can sit under the gospel and hear the word of God and not respond to it? Some of you today are here, and you know in your own heart that if you died, you do not have a Savior. You've never asked him to come into your life. Well, let me tell you something. Those three words, "he rose again," can mean a whole lot if you'll just come ask Christ into your heart. For the Bible says, because he lives, we shall live also. It means to you this morning that if you'll come, you can be forgiven for all your sins. You see, it's not just joining a church. I don't care if you join this church or not. I'd just rather you be saved and know you're saved. If you're visiting and you are not saved and you want to come down and get saved, then you go home to your own home church and tell the preacher, "Hey, I got saved last week." And join that church. It's not joining a church. It's putting your faith in a risen Savior who died for you. Walking down this aisle doesn't save you. It's the moment you receive Christ in your life and say, "Lord, I realize I'm lost. And Lord, I want to repent of my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. And I want you to come into my life." The Bible says he will come in. It's not putting your name on a church roll. Man, we've got 1,400 people on the church roll. And only about 300 come. So I feel like we've got a lot of people that's got their name on a church roll that if they died this morning, they would spend an eternity lost. That's awful, isn't it? But if you don't love Jesus enough to come and worship him, I don't know if you love him enough to get yourself into heaven. You haven't trusted him. You're not living for him. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with a mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, just say, Lord, I believe what your word says. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for me. And I believe you rose again. I believe one day you're coming back. Lord, I confess that. I want you as my Lord and Savior. He said, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that's getting it from head to heart. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What a great day. Resurrection Day. The gospel is the good news because he rose again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you came and died on the cross that we might have life. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that needs to make a decision of rededication or for salvation or they're looking for a church home, that today might be the day that they just come and join in with this fellowship or join in with the kingdom of God. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.